Good afternoon. Good afternoon, one and all, and welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean. You're listening to RBN, and I'm pleased to have you out there as listeners all across the nation and all across the world. Oh my, a lot of things happening. Should we concern ourselves with so many things? Or should we work harder and become informed and set the agenda ourselves? It is my great honor to present to you this hour Thomas E. Woods, a many-faceted gentleman, but I think it is well to remember that I would assume a love of history was his very first choice, for he graduated in history from Harvard and went on to various universities and received a doctorate from Columbia. He is the best-selling author of many books. Meltdown is an extraordinary title, and it certainly talks about today. Another book, Who Killed the Constitution? He is a fellow with the Ludwig von Mises Institute, and he talks about truth. And you may go to his website, I believe it is tomwoods.com, and you can find much of what he can help you with. We're going to bring on Mr. Thomas E. Woods for this hour, and I would like to say good afternoon to Mr. Woods and remind him that almost as soon as we begin, we do have a commercial break, so look forward to that. But I would like to say again, it is my honor as the host of Born on the 4th of July to greet you for the first time as a guest, and I'm hoping for many times again. Thomas E. Woods, also very much involved with a wonderful effort across this nation about the freedom and an organization connected with Ron Paul. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, it's a delight. I'm so excited. I can't believe it because it's your first appearance on Born on the 4th of July. And guess what? You fit with Born on the 4th of July. You're kindling hearts all across America to speak truth. And so with your writings and your books, you are involved. And so thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure. It's great that the work I do for my living is also the work I would want to do under any circumstances. I get to fight for what's right and fight against the bad guys, and so it's the most rewarding avenue I could think of for my labors.
Well, and you're associated with the Campaign for Liberty and Ron Paul's movement as well, right?
That's right. I've been doing I spoke at the Rally for the Republic back in Minneapolis last September, and then I've been sort of the warm-up speaker for the man himself at several of their events, and I'll be in Galveston this weekend for the giant Ron Paul barbecue bash there, and speaking at that event as well. So that'll be a lot of fun.
I have to proclaim that a colleague of mine certainly heard you at one of these events and has encouraged me to look into your work and your books and all that. So I'd like to give honor and respect to my friend who helped have you on the program. So we'll go to this break, and then after that, the time is yours. We'll be right back.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Today's guest has written many books, as I outlined a couple of them. Also, essays. He's collaborated on the authoring of other writings and books. He has been published in scholarly periodicals and a very important pursuit, has received many awards and prizes. So there you go. A little bit of background for those who may not know Thomas E. Woods. So here we go today. Welcome to our show, and please help us understand pertinent things that we need to know to survive economically in this 2009 time frame.
Well, I mean, I'm certainly not a financial advisor. What I am is a historian and to an extent an economist. And my work is basically geared toward overturning myths that we either get in our history classrooms or in the propaganda ministry of the U.S. government and the cable news networks. So my advice to people would be that whatever you're hearing on CNBC about what you should do with your money or about what's going on with the economy, you should more or less believe the opposite, and you'll almost always be proven right. So when CNBC laughs at you for buying gold and silver, you should double your purchases of gold and silver. That is the best indication of it, of all, that that's a good use of your money. But my argument, now this year, as you mentioned at the beginning, I had a book called Meltdown with a really long subtitle, which is a free market look at why the stock market collapsed, the economy tanked, and government bailouts will make things worse. Now the interesting thing about this book is it was a New York Times bestseller on the list for 10 weeks. The New York Times refused to review it, told my publisher they were not going to review it. Now, I don't think that's that common, that you have a bestseller for 10 weeks and they won't even touch it. And my guess is that their own economics columnists, like Paul Krugman, would, of course, hate my book because it gives exactly the opposite of the wretched advice that they're giving, the same advice that drove Japan into the ground for almost 20 years is the advice they're giving us today. And I'm trying to blow the whole lid off this thing, and I'm trying to expose the Federal Reserve as being responsible for the downturn. So, of course, they don't want to expose their delicate reader's eyes to this sort of point of view. But that's okay. I mean, the New York Times is declining. It's in big financial trouble. We may even live in our own lifetimes to see a world without a New York Times. Could we imagine a glorious paradise like that? But in the meantime, I just speak to other outlets. I speak to Ron Paul's organizations. I speak on programs like this one, I publish in various outlets online and in print, and the message seems to be getting out regardless of what the New York Times wants.
Well, in one of your interviews, just to add a little bit to what you've already said, you said our history is given to us in propaganda form and our present in propaganda form as well. And I just wanted to restate that because, once again, that's the reason for such kind of programs as the micro-broadcasting that's just on such a spiral upward, because the truth is very important, and the idea that so much of what we see is actually propaganda needs to kind of settle into people's minds in order to free them up and free us all up.
Exactly. And, you know, it's interesting to note, you know, we realize how much bogus history there is, bogus economics as well. And it makes you ask the question, why is there so much bogus economics and bogus history, but relatively little bogus botany? You know, like, why is botany okay, but economics isn't? Well, and the answer is, there's no market for bad botany. Nobody would want to hire a bad botanist. But there's a huge market for bad economics and history, and the major buyer in that market is government. Of course, they want phony history and phony economics, and interest groups want those things in order to justify before the public the things that they're doing. But, of course, what the purpose that's served by propaganda in history is that it, of course, makes us trust all the more implicitly our wonderful government and our wise overlords who will keep us safe from all the wicked villains of yesteryear. So we learn in our history classrooms, for instance, that before we had a Federal Reserve System, well, everything was just awful. I mean, everyone was just crawling around eating dirt, and the economy was just always moving up and down, up and down, up and down. But now we have a wise Federal Reserve System. We have experts scientifically managing the money supply. So we don't have to. So in other words, all this propaganda, it's not just a coincidence. It's not that at random they choose this stuff to lie about. It's that the idea is that if we believe that that's the true history, then we're more likely to say, you know what, I guess I do need a wise overlord like Ben Bernanke to keep me safe from financial turmoil. Well, look at recent history. Don't make me laugh claiming the Fed is a source of financial stability. Come on. The Fed is the greatest source of instability we've had. And to make a long story extremely short, if you look at the period of time before we had a Federal Reserve, if you look in the 19th century, most of the panics, financial panics we had, they're either caused by government-privileged national banks, special privileges for banks that allow them to get away with crazy shenanigans, but also we were told up until very recently, we were told that the 1870s was the time of the Long Depression, worst depression ever, 1873 to 79, terrible, terrible, and this is why one of the reasons we needed a Federal Reserve. Well, now economic historians finally are admitting there really was no depression of the 1870s. That this is just made up. That in fact we had a mild recession in 1873, and to the contrary, the 1870s and 80s were among the most prosperous times in American history for the average person. So this is the sort of knowledge that if Americans had it, they might be in a position to make better judgments about what's best for the country.
You know, I used to watch C-SPAN. Just that was my thing. I had to get up at 5 o'clock in order to get all that I needed and get ready and watch that. And I remember that time frame, you know, into the 2000s and all through the 90s, watching from time to time the hearings with Mr. Greenspan.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to watch that, and I'd try to follow what he would say. And I thought, gee, my brain just doesn't work that way. There's something wrong here. Very few would ask important questions. And I just thought, this is the strangest thing I have ever witnessed. And it would continue. It didn't change through the years. How long could the Congress sat there and listen to such silliness? I can't tell you. I guess it's since 1913.
That's true. I mean, once in a while, and it's very rare, you do get a Ron Paul who knows his stuff and who is not intimidated by the celebrity of the Fed chairman, and he will just call him out to his face. And that makes for entertaining TV on C-SPAN. I will say in C-SPAN, in defense of C-SPAN, that C-SPAN 2 often has a lot of good stuff, especially the weekends they have Book TV. And they'll have authors. You have all different persuasions. They'll put authors on there. And the beautiful thing about C-SPAN is they never edit you. They run the whole thing as you did it. So you don't have to worry, like, if you were going to be on 60 Minutes. Well, you know, they'll take the one sentence that you wish you hadn't said, and that'll be the only thing they quote. C-SPAN runs the whole thing. And a few weeks ago, they even ran a debate on whether we should abolish the Federal Reserve. This was a debate from out in Las Vegas last month, and it was a two-on-two debate, and I was one of the two arguing we should abolish the Fed. Now, where on television can you see something like that? And anybody interested in this, by the way, the very fact that we have a debate like this is a wonderful step forward. At TomWoods.com, I have it linked right up there if you just scroll down. And it's an interesting thing to watch because it was I almost felt bad for the other side because I got up and gave my opening statement just denouncing it and saying, you know, in the spirit of Andrew Jackson, we got to kill the monster. And then the pro-Fed guy, the first of the pro-Fed guys, gets up and he's taking a long time to get to his point. He starts off by saying, look, I admit central banks have a terrible track record. They've made all sorts of mistakes. They've had lots of problems. And then the poor guy ran out of time. So he had spent his whole opening statement corroborating what we were saying. So that the whole day went very well for us in that event.
Well, that's an exciting thing to know. That's great.
The fact that this is going on shows that there is, although more slowly than we might like, there is a change going on because 5 years ago, this subject would never have been raised.
And we have to also add that since 1913, it probably hasn't been raised until maybe this very moment.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, can you think of a presidential campaign in which the Fed was an issue? I mean, isn't that – it's almost creepy that for nearly 100 years, here you have a gigantic money creation machine that's also a gigantic bailout machine for all the Wall Street crooks, and nobody thinks that's an interesting political issue to talk about? We didn't think so until 2007 and 8. It's unbelievable. But now the cat is out of the bag, and this toothpaste is not going back into the tube. Now that this is out in the open, and now if they try to stonewall on this audit, it's going to get even worse for them because now more and more people will get interested because they'll want to know, what are these people hiding? What are they afraid of?
Since September 2008, it has been really an extraordinary exposure, don't you think? A lot of unanswered questions, many trillions spent, and where did they go? People are having these little meetings, and they say that, you know, they're very terrible about this healthcare issue, but I believe it falls back to the financial issue of the bailout. I think maybe Americans can key in on the health issue, but overall, they're anger or their disappointment should be starting in September. So many unanswered questions. We'll have a break here soon, so I just want to give you the heads up. And then if you could just continue and help us understand what we might do in a pursuit of our own and the ramifications of the extraordinary giveaway of America's money, like we saw. Oh, my. Anyway, I think that all of that put together is causing this emotional demonstration and involvement of the folks. And, of course, you encourage that kind of involvement for people to think on their own. We'll be right back.
We'll pay $25,000 of your credit card debt guaranteed. Since 1993, Zero Debt in 90 Days is still the only guaranteed debt relief program available. We'll either solve your debt problems in 90 days or we'll pay you $25,000. Our attorney said we could not make this promise, so we fired them and hired new attorneys, and they just love the idea.
My wife and I thought these guys are nuts, but a few months later, we were totally debt-free. This has changed our life and given us a brand new start.
So if you have too much debt of any kind, we want to pay for it. If you are facing foreclosure, we can stop it in one day and you make no payments. That's That's right. You keep your money. As of this date, we have stopped every single foreclosure, and all of our clients are still in their homes, paying no property taxes, no mortgage, no rent, and no chance of having to move anytime soon. We will pay you $25,000 if we cannot solve your debt problems within 90 days. Call now and mention this offer to get your free copy of our 7 Debt Relief Secrets. Call 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Hi, this is Tom DeWeese, inviting you to join us for the 10th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference in Oklahoma City, August 13th to 15th. Our keynote speaker is G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. You will also meet Chuck Baldwin, Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt, a host of state legislators hot on the heels of the fight to preserve state sovereignty. And you will learn all the details behind the coming international ID and how the MEAC report fits in. Property rights, privacy rights, education, and the assault on natural health care, all will be discussed at Freedom 21. And John Stadmiller of RBN will be helping me co-host the event. You can register for the full conference or for just a day. We also offer a very special student rate. For more information, go to www.freedom21.org or call my office at 540-341-8915. The leaders in the fight to preserve our freedom are gathering in Oklahoma City this summer. I hope you'll join us at the Freedom 21 National Conference.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Galveston, old Galveston, Galveston, Texas, August 15th, 2009. There's going to be a Texas barbecue hosted by Ron Paul and Campaign for Liberty. And speaking there, Thomas E. Woods, Jr., today's guest on Born on the 4th of July. So returning now to all those dilemmas out there, we're happy to hear from you.
Well, do we have a lot of listeners, as far as you know, in that area?
Oh, I would assume we do. I just thought maybe they'd like to know.
No,
Galveston
I'm glad.
Is a fun place to visit.
If I'd have a chance to meet any while I'm there, because I always like to find out who's on the other side of things, you know, when I'm speaking in these venues.
Surely. So, Texas, come on forward. Be at Galveston on that day and join with Thomas Woods. Okay, a lot of things out there. The bailout, how could they just do what they did and actually do that in September and get us all upset and then they all returned back. Nobody voted them out.
Yeah, that's the problem. If there had been a major change and people had been thrown out of office, it would have meant something. Something would have happened as a result of that. But instead, we've got people who are either too corrupt or lazy to bother informing themselves, using sources other than the giant propaganda machine in the middle of their living room telling them that this was all necessary for the common good. And you know, and to add insult to injury, then you've got the two major presidential candidates in full agreement. And here they are supposedly arch enemies, right? We've got totally different views of what the U.S. should be. But when it comes to bailing out Wall Street, well, they can't kiss and make up fast enough. And that should have alerted anyone in the country who wasn't comatose that something is wrong with the political system when on a matter like this of such import that is so controversial that it would simply be obvious to both of them that, of course, they're going to vote for the bailout. And then, of course, later, McCain regretted his vote. Oh, come on. You know, I am so been there, done that with politicians who are weeping about how sorrowful they are about their previous votes. You know, come on. I don't think Ron Paul has ever had to shed that many tears about his previous votes.
Isn't it interesting that there are not more Ron Paul in the Congress?
You know, I sometimes actually think that it's more interesting that there is even one Ron Paul. Because the very fact that he's going to say to the farmers in his district, I'm not going to vote for subsidies for you, and I'm going to tell you that right to your face. Or he'll deal with people in his district who work for NASA, and he'll say, I think NASA is an unconstitutional boondoggle, and I'm not going to support it. And he'll say that to their faces, and he gets returned in a landslide every 2 years. I mean, this is unbelievable. Now, on the other hand, now that people sort of know who he is, because he worked in obscurity for some years, but now that people know who he is, I think you will find there will be at least a handful of places in the country where there will be an open seat and several contenders running for a party nomination. I think the enthusiasm, the energy, the money-raising ability of the Ron Paul people could make it at least conceivable that somebody along the Ron Paul model could one day be elected.
Well, that would be just wonderful. The timing, we need to hurry and do some of these things. We talk about a lot of different happenings that are ongoing about on a daily basis on Born on the 4th of July. And the one most recent one was the advertising of the Army and the National Guard for specialists, and they want specialists for internment. And that, of course, came to light about last week. And so one wonders about the timing here for freedom. Is there an encroachment on the moment that we have to unfold all of this story or to alert the people to the propaganda, alert the people to turn off the television and seek good organizations, good company, and good information? That's my wonderment.
Right. Well, I think it's a good question, because it seems like we could very well be in a situation in which time is more of the essence than we realize, because we don't know what's going to happen with the economy in the future, other than I don't think it's recovering. I think it'll, as one of my friends puts it, I think the recovery will be worse than the recession. So given that it could actually get substantially worse to the point of even minor civil unrest taking place, well, that would be a pretext for who knows what type of clampdown. So, yeah, we could be in real danger here in terms of time, which is why none of us has the luxury of just hearing information like this, absorbing it, enjoying it for himself, and then going about his life. Everybody has to do his best, without being so obnoxious that we turn people off, to getting people to read the right thing, listen to the right thing, and understand what's going on. And so everybody has a role to play here. Like, some people are writers, some people are speakers, some people are organizers, some people just know which friend needs to read which article to have his eyes open, whatever. But there is something for every one of us to do, and we can't afford not to do it.
Now, you've recently written another book, 33 Questions.
Yeah, that one is called 33 Questions About American History You're Not Supposed to Ask, and all these titles are described at tomwoods.com. But I wrote 33 Questions because I thought there are so many areas of American history that if only I had known this stuff, the truth about it, back when I was 18 or 20, the time I could have saved myself trying to look all this up for myself. Like, what does the General Welfare Clause of the Constitution really mean? Does it really mean they can take our money for any purpose they want? Like, what do these things really mean? And all these other myths that we get in American history, that's what the book was about.
Very good. We'll go to break here, and we'll be back shortly.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Returning to Born on the 4th of July, I'm your host, Barbara Dean. Today's guest, author, writer, lecturer, traveler for sure, Mr. Tom Woods. And certainly you have created a firestorm with some of your books and have had great success in that. I'd just like to share another little bit of information that I discovered is that you have been an advisor or have worked on encyclopedias, and I think that's an extraordinary thing as well. I'm going to put out a call number in case the listening audience would like to join in, 800-313-9443, the number 800-313-9443. I would expect that the best word I can think of in regard to what's happened economically in high places since September would be plunder or looting. And maybe you can give us your assessment of what we're seeing and witnessing and how you think it might play out and anything else you'd like to share.
Well, I'm inclined to be skeptical and severely critical of every single thing they're doing, because I think everything they've done and are planning to do is the exact opposite of what needs to be done. In fact, I think that's a good rule of thumb. I almost wrote an introduction to economics based on just quoting American presidents and teaching people the opposite. And that's how you could learn economics. So when they tell us that we need a stimulus package or this or that, you know, what they're really doing is this is people grabbing what last bits of loot they can from the Treasury before it runs empty. I mean, it's not because they actually are dumb enough to think that you become prosperous by borrowing $800 billion or printing up $800 billion and then blowing it on arbitrary things. I mean, nobody seriously believes that. Japan did that about 8 times, and all they had to show for it was being the most indebted country in the developed world. By contrast, and this is one of the arguments I make in Meltdown, I talk a lot about an episode that our overlords don't tell us about, which is the Depression of 1920, the depression no one remembers. No one remembers it because it was over so quickly. And it was over so quickly because the government didn't try a stimulus package, didn't try all this bailing out all their friends and printing up money. They didn't do any of that. To the contrary, they cut the budget in half, so the parasitical sector of the economy was slashed. Spending was cut along with tax rates and the national debt. All these things went down. And instead of having a depression that went on forever, it was over very quickly. By 1922, you already had unemployment cut pretty much in half and then cut more than in half again the following year. Now, that's the opposite of what we're told. And if you look throughout American history, we don't see stimulus packages most of the time when there's a recession. In the 50s, we had recessions, 57. There was no stimulus package, and Eisenhower cut the budget after 57. Bill Clinton wanted to pass a stimulus package when he got elected, and he didn't have the votes, and the economy recovered on its own. And we can just go, we can look at example after example of this. So this is a whole lot of nonsense. It is a way to give some kind of justification for what politicians want to do anyway, which is to blow other people's money on themselves and their friends. That is what this is about. It has nothing to do with recovery, nothing to do with economic sense. So it's sort of pointless to try to go to your congressman and educate him about economics. He doesn't care. He's there to loot you and give the money to other people. Instead, what you need to be doing is educating your fellow Americans so they might consider not putting a bozo like this in power in the first place.
Well, we have so much work to do. We're all now quite comfortable with trillion as compared to billion. And we keep doing the same things. And like you say, when are we going to learn?
Well, I think that things will come to a head before we get to the point where suddenly we're using quadrillion instead of trillion. I don't think we are going to get to that point, because eventually the show is going to be up. There are only so many suckers in the world who are going to want to keep lending to a U.S. government that is obviously not going to be able to repay it all. They're taking the money and blowing it. They're not even taking it to improve the productive structure so that we can produce more things in the future out of which we can repay these loans. We're not going to be able to repay any of this debt. So eventually you're going to run out of suckers. You won't be able to tax people anymore, because if you look ever since World War II, the amount of tax receipts in terms of GNP has always hovered around 20%. So no matter what tax rate you impose, you always wind up getting about 20% of GDP. So there seems to be a natural limit to how much you can siphon out of the population. So if you run out of people to borrow from and you run out of suckers you can tax, the only option that's left to you is the ultimate banana republic solution, which is to crank up the printing press. And you won't be able to crank up that thing fast enough to cover all the stuff that's going to come due in terms of entitlements, debt, and whatever. I mean, there's no way this can go. I don't know how long it'll go on. There's no way to predict that. But it cannot persist forever.
This is sort of a hard sell to college graduates, isn't it, to have them be trained now to be productive in an economic market or have a certain skill. And yet what they're looking at, I keep thinking that segment of society should be far more angry or encouraged to act in a very, very important way for the future, and I don't know that I hear a lot from them. Do you know whether there is a revolution among college students coming on board? Our college campuses used to be quite an interesting little window into what might occur. What do you think there?
That is true, although, I mean, I used to teach college kids, and I found I had a lot of very sweet, wonderful people, good, smart kids, but by and large, they're utterly apathetic. They're not interested in anything. They drink all day. I mean, the stereotypes about them are 100% true, and I stand by that statement, as would any other professor who works in the system. It is unbelievable what – I don't even know what these kids are doing there. They don't belong in the parking lot, much less in the classroom. So they've just tuned out. But in a way, because they're so apathetic, they almost don't even matter. What matters are the people with passion. And the people with passion among the young people are starting to turn a little bit in our direction. I mean, we all know that the heaviest demographic for Ron Paul was the youngest people, the heaviest by far. The people with the most to hang on to in the current system, the very old, were the least interested in Ron Paul. So this has to bear some good fruit. And we won't exactly know the full extent of his influence on young people for at least another 5-10 years. You know, after they get their degrees, after they emerge from college or graduate school, and they take their places as leaders in various industries or in politics or whatever. But I do think that disproportionately, out of proportion, it's the younger people who are listening, even though a great many young people aren't listening to anybody. Those who are listening, more of them are listening to this man than I think we sometimes appreciate.
Now, with the H.R. 1207... and the number in the House, we should remind the listener that maybe this has been tried in the past or something similar about getting out of the UN and so forth from Mr. Paul. But this time it is quite different with the numbers of sponsors on board. Do you have any prediction of that and its future? How will it go in the Senate? Will they be embarrassed if they turn away from it in the House? What do you say there?
Well, I was just in Florida this past weekend with Dr. Paul at an event we both spoke at, and he addressed this exact issue. And he said, you know, I have no way of knowing exactly how this is going to go from here, but his attitude was, you know, in a certain sense, it doesn't matter. In a certain sense, we've already won because there is no good outcome for them. If the audit is allowed, then that's certainly not a good outcome for them. But if they stonewall and the audit does not come about, that's also bad for them, because that only encourages more people to be interested in the very institution in American life that we are most supposed to ignore. It will only attract more attention to the very institution we are least supposed to be discussing. And he is thrilled about this. And that's exactly my view. I don't know exactly how this bill is going to go, but I do know that the opposition, the anger about the Fed, the knowledge about the Fed, knowledge is so wonderful here, because as soon as you learn about the Fed, you understand how sinister it is, how economically destructive it is. This is just going to grow. This is only going to grow. And this is a political development I could never have predicted. I would never predicted a few years ago that the Fed would suddenly be on people's minds. And I will even admit on your program that when Ron Paul started talking about the Fed and monetary policy early in his campaign, I actually said this was a mistake. I said, you know, Americans aren't going to understand this. He should focus on other things. But, you know, I'm not infallible. I'm happy to admit when I'm wrong. And boy, was I wrong. I mean, I was so wrong. I mean, it's just amazing how wrong I was. He has done us a tremendous service by raising an issue that wasn't even on the table. No politician does that. They all listen to what people are demanding, supposedly, and then they cater to them and they flatter the people. No one was even talking about the Fed, but he brought it up himself, which is another piece of evidence of what a unique politician he is.
On the issue of the trade agreements and how they impact our economy, that's where I kind of started in being interested civically, was in 1993. It was Henry Gonzalez, a representative from Texas, and it was late at night, and he was in the congressional chamber talking mainly to empty seats. But he was describing his concern over NAFTA, and I perked up my ears. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and I'd never heard about that. And I thought, wait a minute, I'd better check on it. So I went to my representative, and I'm just using this as an example. I went to my representative and said, I need to see what that is. And in the representative's office, they said they didn't know what I was talking about. And from there, it went to letters requesting a copy. And, of course, those weren't available. They cost a lot of money. He wasn't going to have them in his office. To make a long story short, I do believe the impact of these global trade agreements have had such a negative result on America and other nations. And I just wondered what you thought about this globalization story as compared to the survival of the United States. I thought in one of your lectures you talked about a patient and you wanted him to get well, but if you continued to hit him in the head, he probably isn't going to make it, something like that.
Yeah,
that's
Yeah, I use that because it's every time we hear, you know, the so-called experts trying to fix the economy, and then they're scratching their heads as to why it isn't fixed. It's because they, in effect, they metaphorically keep kicking it in the head and wondering why he's not regaining consciousness. Well, maybe you don't do that. Well, there's definitely some a continuum of opinion on the subject of free trade among the circles that you and I tend to travel in. So I'm inclined to favor free trade, but I don't favor NAFTA because I think, for one thing, there is something suspicious about thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pages long. No one's read it. It erects supranational bureaucracies that we can't control that can dictate the terms of trade. I know the ambitions of certain people who do want to establish global governing structures, and I don't want to pave the way for that. Same thing with the World Trade Organization, and both of these things were passed very quickly. NAFTA was passed in a lame duck session. The World Trade Organization, again, and GATT was all done very quickly. There was no chance for debate or vote. If this were really just a free trade measure, well, you could do that in one piece of paper, right? You know, we'll have free trade, one sentence even. You know, why would you need 20,000 pages if this weren't some sort of corporatist payoff and some sort of global governing sort of thing? That's the part that concerns me. I do believe that that the freedom of trade does lead to greater prosperity. Just take my wife, for example. My wife grew up in a family of 13 children. Now, we love to make fun of the fact that, we're getting a lot of cheap products, and that's terrible. Well, how was my wife's family supposed to clothe all those kids and feed all those kids if they had to spend what we used to have to spend for, like, one child's outfit, $25? I don't see that it's the end of the world that we can now clothe five children for that amount and take the money left over and spend that on other goods and employ Americans producing other goods. So I'm not inclined to say that that's a negative. The negative is the attempt to use institutions like NAFTA and GATT to build up part of a new global economic order. If we really want global economic order, we should have no institutions like that at all. We should just have individuals making exchanges of their own free will with no bureaucrat within 100 miles.
Well, yes. You know, I used to always think, well, we've had trade a long time. Marco Polo, come on. But it's interesting, the labyrinth of the many, many pages creating the structures to impede a fair trade, you know, or free trade, a free market. I just feel like they used that name or that terminology, but then they defiled it in what they presented.
Oh, absolutely. Like, for example, there was a case of one of the American states had a special tax break for microbreweries. And so one of these supranational bureaucracies said, well, wait a minute, that's giving you an unfair trade advantage, you know, because they get these special tax breaks that microbreweries in other countries don't get, so you better repeal that. Well, wait a minute, who are they to tell us what our laws should be, right? I mean, that's the sort of thing that I think Americans should be angry about, but my view is we've got a list of, you know, off the top of my head, I could think of 500 things we should be angry about that most people don't even know are happening. I mean, you can't be angry about something if you're not even aware of it.
Well, and once again, turn off the television and do the research. I just constantly say I'm concerned about the propaganda element, and you hit on that very well, letting people know that maybe what you're being told over and over every day, there is a similarity in the stories for sure. You are being impacted. You are sensitive to what you hear. It will make a difference. Don't forget propaganda and some of the leaders in Nazi Germany. They knew it was a major tool. And so America needs to be vibrant and smart today like never before. And when I say America, I mean the citizenry, the
right
makeup of America.
Not the
and
government.
Of course, as an educator, you're telling me that it's kind of dismal when you get on the college campus.
I'm sorry about the college campus?
I said you say that as a hope is rather dismal in your experience.
Yeah, oh, that's right. It is. But as I say, the apathetic segment of the population is the least of my concerns, because if we manage to move public opinion in a certain direction, well, by definition, the apathetic just go with the flow. So those people will jump on board if it seems fashionable. So I'm not worried about them. It's the people who really are passionate. We need to make sure that disproportionately those people are on our side, the people who will spend their spare time not watching TV but working on some way they can spread the liberty message. Those are the numbers we have to worry about. We can't demoralize ourselves with how many Americans, you know, don't even have never heard of Ron Paul or whatever. There's only so much we can do about that. But we can improve ourselves. We always can work harder. And that's where our focus needs to be.
When we come back, I wondered if you would share a recent quote by the chairman of AIG in regard to the bailout. We'll be right back. You're listening to Born on the 4th of July. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more, all at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
Calling author, the website TomWoods.com. We were talking about a quote I think you used from the chairman of AIG, a bailout recipient, as I recall. And then one other comment I would like you to deal with is the president and his comments about redistribution of wealth. And then maybe we're to the top of the hour, and I would say thanks to you. So the mic is yours.
Okay. Well, the first quotation I'm certainly familiar with, this is probably a couple months ago, the ex-chairman of AIG said that, you know, the bailout really hasn't worked, it's been a failure, and so, you know, maybe it would have been better to just let AIG go bankrupt from the start. Well, isn't that interesting? I mean, this is the very position that, you know, people like, I presume you and I both took, and Ron Paul took and a lot of our people took, and we were told that, you know, we just don't understand how financial markets work, and we're really old-fashioned, probably kind of stupid, ill-informed, all the rest of it. You know, those are the nice things they said about us. Now, here we have the ex-chairman of AIG itself saying exactly the same thing. So suddenly it's become respectable to say this. No one has apologized to me since then, but that about says it, that it goes to show that it was legitimate all along to say it's not good to hijack the whole economy just to hold up a crummy company like AIG. You send it to bankruptcy courts, you do the best you can to sort things out, and you would recover. The economy would not be sucked into a black hole and all these crazy scare tactics they use. That none of that is true. But then in terms of Obama and wealth redistribution, the only quotation I know of is from years ago back when he was a U.S. senator. So I don't know if there's been a more recent one.
Well, it seems like there was, but go ahead with him. Okay.
Because I don't, I mean, other than I remember his famous, you know, we got to share the wealth quotation, mm-hmm. which is, you know, share the wealth, you know, calls to mind images of kindergarten students, and they're all sharing a pile of candy, whereas this share the wealth means, you know, I've got an AK-47, and I'm going to beat down your door to take some of your wealth and give it to some bum who happens to be politically significant to us. I mean, that's a little different from the kindergarten scenario, but that's what this Orwellian phrase "share the wealth" really means. How about this crazy idea that we shouldn't treat each other like cash cows? We should treat each other like human beings with dignity and rights, who have just as many rights as we do, and we should not loot our fellow man. We should support ourselves. We should give charity to people who are in need, but we do not treat human beings like means to an end. Human beings are ends in themselves. What a crazy radical idea that would be.
What do you think about the cash for clunkers?
Oh, for goodness sake. I recommend people go to YouTube and type in Ron Paul Clunkers and watch his video. He did like 4 minutes about the Cash for Clunkers thing on YouTube, and it just demolishes the whole thing. I mean, it's obviously corporate welfare for the automobile industry. It tends to help the middle class and the rich more than it helped the poor, who wouldn't be in a position to buy a new car even with this incentive. But beyond that, where is the money? We don't have the money for this thing. I mean, how could you – we've got a $1.8 trillion deficit, which is probably a rosy scenario, and they want to add more to this. And meanwhile, you're kicking used car dealerships in the teeth. They're seeing the worst downturns they've seen as far as they can remember, because who's going to bother buying a used car right now? They're getting loot and all – you know, they're getting stolen money to go ahead and buy a new car. So you're hurting – it's just unbelievable.
I have been absolutely personally in shock over the whole story. And when they talk about taking them down and destroying them, I just have this horrible feeling. Now, clunkers can become clunkers, and they should be done away with. But in the middle of that, there are some usable vehicles, and we should be selling them to third world countries, right?
Yeah, this is why you'll never be elected to office. Common sense.
Thank you so much. Let's do it again.
Thank you.
Appearing on Born on the 4th of July, Thomas Woods, tomwoods.com. Thank you.
With